And there were so many different assets to building these stations, you can't imagine that we had not been able to think about. And one of them is, well, what do you do in the studio? Well, how big a studio do you want? And finally, we got the network in on all of our planning, and they said, we think that a 60-foot by 60-foot by 60-foot high studio is the best thing. It will work out to where you'll need that extra height if you want to get some close-in shots and various other things, but we decided that that was too far out, so we decided to put 20-foot studios. We had a 60 by 60 by 20 that with a control room on the side, so forth. And now then, how are you going to insulate the studio so that it wouldn't be going across into the next building, the next room? How are you going to keep interference out? Well, John and I had built a new studio for a radio station in Tulsa, and had decided that there was a tile company up in northern Arkansas, northwest Arkansas, made by the name of Herwagen, and he made insulation material out of egg crate cartons, and they thought this was the greatest, biggest thing, and when you looked at the cost of it, it was tremendous. They had to form all of it by hand and all, and we agreed that this is not, we can't afford that kind of thing, so let's figure up something that's different, something that'll do just as good a job. So we're looking at his studio, sitting there looking, trying to figure out what in the world to do. We were using various types of insulation and so forth. Finally, somebody came in with about a 2x4 square of 4-inch insulation. It was backed by heavy material, which I think was foil of some kind, and the front end of it was open. Boy, the idea, I don't think, maybe I was the one that thought about that and said, my, boy, will this be good. Let's try it and see. So we built a series an area there and took these tiles or pieces of insulation. They got them 4x8, I believe. And they went between the 2x4 joists at the ceiling, we're the same with 2x4, and we just fit this little bat of insulation into those squares of 2x4 in the walls, turning the open part of the insulation to the inside where that it would absorb the sound, and it couldn't get out the back because it was this foil material on the back. We tried that, and boy, it just worked like nothing you can imagine, just perfect. In fact, we built a studio in Little Rock, a whole 40 or 60 by 60 by 20 area, including the ceiling, and filled it full of this insulation bats, and we had some of the network people down who were helping us try to decide what to do. And they said that was the deadest studio they'd ever been in. It absolutely had no reverberations anywhere. They said, well, we got to put it on the floor. And I said, no, it ain't. We won't use the floor because it'll be impractical and everything. Then we got to looking at this studio and thinking, well, now what can keep television people, just like radios and others, they'll be tearing that insulation apart and they'll get to looking like the grapes of wrath. So we concluded that, well, now then we're going to put we'll put some chicken wire over that, and that'll hold it in place, and also won't affect the insulation of it a bit. So that's what we did. And then we got to think, well, now that doesn't look any good with that chicken wire holding up that insulation. So we decided that we would cover the insulation with cheesecloth, regular white cheesecloth, which was the cheapest material that we could buy. So we covered this studio with cheesecloth, and then on the outside of it, we put the chicken wire to protect it, to keep people from knocking holes in it. And I'll swear to goodness, if I don't think in KWTV, there's still some of that original material that we put on the studio in Channel 9 and in Channel 7. It was a poor boy's way of doing it, but it works so well. If you go to New York, you'll see that ABC Studios and CBS and all are the same, made the same way, and it works so very beautiful. But I just, those days were very trying because we didn't ever have enough money to hardly get along. And we go back to Oklahoma City, and we had operated with our four partners, which were all very wonderful people, wonderful families, just couldn't be any finer folks. And we'd gotten along very, very well. And we got KWTV off the ground to making a little bit of money, and things were looking pretty good. We decided, well, everything's going great, but they were in years, they were somewhat older than John, Marjorie, and I, and they decided they wanted to sell the station. We had a number of offers immediately when we got it all going. Everybody wanted it. And we decided, well, we don't want to sell ours. We've been in this business for a long time. And we said, well, now then, let's work out a deal whereby we can do it. So borrowing the amount of money, I've forgotten what it was, somewhere around, at this time, around $7-8 million is what the station was praised to be worth, and it would take about $3.5 million to float the thing. So we finally, Carl Mosteller here in Oklahoma City, who was the lawyer there, who had been our tax lawyer ever since 1940. And he came up with a proposition with working with Chuck Vose and Jim Kite, Chuck's son-in-law, whereby we would sell to our partners all of the equipment that we had at all three stations. Then they could turn around and lease it back to us on a long-term payout. And that sounded like a very good deal. Then First National Bank and Chuck Vose decided that was a good deal too. He thought that First National Oklahoma City would work that deal out. And so then directly after a while, he decided that it was a little bit risky, but that he and Jim Kite had formed the Kite Investment Company, and they would buy the equipment from our partner, from their partners who then owned all of the equipment at all three stations, and that they would then turn around and lease it back to us on 10-year payout. And that's how we got, we bought the other half of KWTV. That would be in the, along about the time that Kennedy was assassinated. When that deal was worked out, I'll never forget that because we were in the old Beacon Club when that tragedy happened, and I never will forget that. So we worked that out, and over a period of 5 or 6 years, business got to be better, and we began to sort of pay our way out of this hole that we dug for ourselves, and we managed to work that out, pay that off, But the unfortunate part about the television station has been that about every 10 years, you have what I call a technological change, in which virtually all of the on-the-air production equipment changes completely. We had tape recorders added to it and various other things, and we just, and then no more had we paid off the stations, and we now owned all three of them. Then we were faced with a complete upgrade of most of our equipment, but much to everybody's surprise, the old batwing antennas had worked out very well, and the transmitters were settled down to where they were doing pretty good. So we decided we didn't have to buy that heavy equipment, so then became input the equipment from the studios, and that was changing. But we used that equipment so heavily that it just wouldn't last a lot longer than 10 years. It was wore out.